And do you know, as I was preparing this talk, Kenny had actually asked me to speak a while back, and it was because I actually had a sermon prepped for the last time I was going to talk, and then we did Love Falkirk, and then as I started prepping this, you're not getting the actual original sermon. So I've still got a sermon in my back pocket for another day, in case you know anyone's sick, so it's fine, we've got one. But as I was prepping this, I just felt God saying something else to me. Because as I was prepping that little bit about who the boys were, what they were doing, and the two boys going into primary school, I was just getting so excited for what God has for them. I was getting so excited. I was thinking about that, you know, they're stepping into stuff, they're stepping in, they're meeting new people, and that kids are just such faithful witnesses. And, you know, they're brave, they are bold, and they don't care. They don't care that they love Jesus and they'll tell everyone. And I was just so excited for how God is going to use them. And I started getting the little butterflies in my tummy. And do you know what? I was just so happy for them. And then as I started praying for this morning, I felt God say, why are you not excited for your own journey? Because your journey's not over because I'm of a certain age. My journey is just as exciting just now. And as I started to pray over this, I just felt God say, why are you not more excited? Why are we not more excited for the journey that God has laid in front of me? Not just these two young boys coming up and these two young boys getting raised, and I'm hoping they just step in to be real men of God, but actually, I can still have that excitement. And I just really wanted to pray over that. So as I started praying over it, just words came tumbling out of my brain into the paper. And I can tell you guys, my brain doesn't work that fast. And this very long paragraph took about 30 seconds to tumble out of my pen. So from that, I'm believing that the Holy Spirit was really speaking to me in this moment. And I believe that these words this morning are for me and they're for you. So I'm going to read it, and I'm going to read it slowly. I want us to have a fire in our bellies, in our hearts for Jesus, for this church, and for the kingdom of God. I want us to pray continually for our church, our friends, and for Falkirk. I want us this morning to fall in love with Jesus all over again. And I want us to love our church, the people in it, the church's mission, and what role is in that mission. What is your role in that mission? I don't want us to back out of the role within this place or to say no thanks to God to what he is offering or asking of us. I want us to choose with reckless abandonment to chase his purpose, vision, and mission that has been set aside for us. When we fall in love with Jesus and believe 100% in the resurrection, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that's in you, then we will be running the race set out for us with excitement, energy, and a fire that is guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, guys, if I manage to do that in this 50-minute talk, I've done a very good job. I don't know if I will, but that is my prayer for us this morning. And I have been praying that the Holy Spirit would fill this room, but then Andrew and Jasmine just really invited the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was here. I thought, brilliant, that's it, done. Shut. What did I say? Oh, sorry. I did say Shanna. It rattled off the tongue. Jasmine, where are you? You're up next week, Jasmine. So, even though the worship team have done an amazing job of just welcoming the Holy Spirit this morning, I'd like to pray for us, if that's all right. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you are here this morning. I thank you that the Holy Spirit was just moving so clearly. And I just pray this morning that you would continue to work in us. And I pray that we would have the heart and the minds open to what it is that you've got to say to us. Amen. So to shorten that really big, long paragraph down that I had, a few things. I want us to pray. I want us to be a church of prayers. I want us to chase what God has for us. When I sent this off to Kenny, he challenged me. He was like, what does that mean? I was like, oh, right, okay, better think. And actually, that was a really great comment because it made me really think about it. What does it mean to chase what God has for us? It means to dedicate our lives to our God-given purpose and not spend our time concerned with things that may not matter in 6 months' time or a year. So yes, we want to chase what God has for us. And the last thing, I want us to boldly witness to those people who are in our lives. Now, let me read a passage for you from Hebrews 12. Some of you will know this passage very well, and I hope that by today, by revisiting it, that God will speak to us even further on it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Now, the book of Hebrews was written to a group of Christians who were tempted to ditch their faith in Jesus due to persecution they were facing. They were tempted to run back to their traditional faith, which is Judaism, from before they knew. And they were tempted just to throw away their Christianity. So throughout the book of Hebrews, it is telling us how amazing Jesus is. It's reminding us how great and mighty he is. Chapter 11, the one before the verse that we've just read, is like a hall of fame, a hall of faith, if you will, of those who walked with God by faith through various trials in their lives. It is in that context that the author encourages us to follow Jesus. He has seen what men of faith have done through trials and persecution. He's saying, keep at it. This morning, I'm hoping that the passage and some of the thoughts and reminders in it will serve as an encouragement to you today. Just as Johnny and Jonah are starting a new school year, and we all kind of feel a bit fresh when the school year starts. That's speaking from a teacher, obviously. I don't know how everyone else feels mid-year. But kind of this year, we feel like it's ready. We're starting a new adventure. And I'm hoping this morning that by the time we kind of end this and we're starting a new term, that actually you can start a new chapter in your faith, that you will be encouraged this morning. So there's three things that I would like to highlight. One, throwing off anything that hinders you. Two, endurance. And three, fixing our eyes on Jesus. So number one, throwing off hindrances. Some of you know that as a family, we like to do a lot of cycling. Before the kids had learned to cycle, we always had them in a bike seat or we had them in a tag-along. For those of you who don't know what the tag-along is, it's like a kind of one bike that's attached to your bike. It's got one wheel and they sit on it. And they kind of feel like they're cycling because they're moving their legs with the pedals and they're holding onto handlebars. The reality of that is, though, is that the bike weighs an absolute ton because your child is now on it. The bike that you're dragging also weighs an absolute ton. And if you're really lucky, your child will actually cycle backwards while you're going uphill, like Jonah. It is so fun for them. It is so fun. But let me tell you, it is not what you want when you're cycling up the hill at Callander Park. No one wants to be carrying extra weight that they do not need, especially if you're in a race. And this is what Hebrews 12 here is saying. Whatever is weighing you down in your Christian race, in your faith, what is it? What's weighing you down? And wherever it is, get rid of it. You don't want it. So I'm actually going to be a bit bold here for me, and I don't like silence. But I am going to leave a 1 minute gap here, and I really want you to pray about what it is that's weighing you down. Is it bitterness from something that's happened? Is it unforgiveness? Is it a love for things in the world? Is it people-pleasing? Or is it something entirely different? We all have something. What is it that's holding you back from being able to run free and light in your faith, from shouting from the rooftops about Jesus? I am praying that the Holy Spirit right now will prompt you into finding out that what that is. Because if we want all of these things from the start that I said in the paragraph, we need to let go of the things that's weighing us down, the things that are holding us back. And what better than this morning to do that? So I'm going to be really bold. I'm going to leave a minute here. I'm going to pray over you. And I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit's really going to speak to you about what it is that's holding you back. So Heavenly Father, we have welcomed you here so many times today. And I pray that you will continue to work in people. We are going to leave space this morning, silence, to hear your voice. And I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us and tell us what it is that's holding us back. What can we let go of? What are you just so ready, God, to help us with? Amen. So guys, I hope in that time that you're just able to realize that you can speak with God, that we can be silent, that we can hear from him, and that he has things, he has more for us. Within the verse, it says that we should run with endurance, the race set before us. And of course, he's talking about the Christian race. The race has to be run with endurance. It's not something that we start, sprint, it's done, and that's it. This thing, this race that we are walking and running, it lasts for our whole lives. We want to be people of God for our whole lives. That will need endurance. If we want to see people's lives transformed by the love of Jesus, our lives transformed by the love of Jesus, we need to hold on tight to him. We need to keep running this race, even when it's tough. But how do we do this? How do we run the race with endurance? I think this is difficult, especially for our generation, where everything is so instant. We don't need to bake a cake, we can buy a cake. We don't need to make dinner, we can just buy dinner, we can microwave it. We can even get a box sent to our door, which, I mean, sometimes I do, with ingredients in it ready to get your dinner made. If you want a piece of art, you can just go out and buy it, and you think you can just get a print. You see, guys, good things take time. And I know that some of you over a certain age will remember developing cameras. Sometimes you had to take a photo, then you had to wait like 2 weeks to hand your camera in and get your photos back. It was all about waiting, whereas a lot of the time now we don't have to wait. We want things done yesterday, and that is hard. Endurance is hard. Waiting is hard. A.W. Tozer said, and this is a beautiful quote, I think, "I have often wished that there was some way to bring modern Christians into a deeper spiritual life painlessly by a short, easy lessons. But such wishes are vain. No shortcuts exist. God has not bowed to our nervous haste nor embraced the methods of our machine age. It is well that we accept the hard truth now. The man who would know God must give time to him. He must count no time wasted which is spent in the cultivation of his acquaintance. He must give himself to meditation and prayer hours on end." So, did the saints of old, the glorious company of the apostles, the godly fellowship of the prophets, and the believing members of the Holy Church in all generations, and so must we if we would follow them. What a great way to put it. There was no point in me trying to reword that. He is so right. In other words, there's no shortcut, no sprint to the Christian life. This means sticking with God and our Christian walk. Now, I know that this will come as a shock to most of you, but next year, I turn 40. I know, right? I certainly could not be 40. But I tell you guys, something changes when you're approaching a certain age, an age milestone. Your perspective changes. You start to ask yourself questions that you would never really have spent time thinking about before. I honestly have started thinking things like, what does really matter? What are the things that I need to let go of? Have I done what God has asked of me? Do I really look 40? All of the important... Joking, I clearly don't. Thank you. But in the Bible, Enoch was a man that the scriptures say pleased God. He walked with God. Our faith, our dependence, and our obedience is what is pleasing to God. That's how we run this race with endurance. We pray, we read scripture, we spend time with God. There's no quick and easy way to that. These are the things that help us do our race. So sometimes we come to church and we're hoping we're going to hear something really new and innovating, but I don't have that for you this morning. I have your faith, your dependence, your obedience, and pray, read scripture, and spend time with God. That's what I have for you this morning. And this leads us on to our third point. For those of you who don't know, I am a PE teacher. I love sports. I can watch any sport on TV apart from cricket. And even more, I love to play sports more than watching sports. And if you ask any my children or the pupils that I teach, what I would say mostly when I'm teaching the wee primary ones is, watch the ball. Keep your eye on the ball. Why do we say this all the time? So that you can keep focus. You keep your body, Your body knows where the ball is, your eyes know where the ball is, everything is focused on the one thing. And just like that, we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus so that we don't lose sight of him. If we take our eyes off the ball, we don't catch it. If we take our eyes off Jesus, we don't see him. So how do we do it? How do we fix our eyes in Jesus? Oh, surprise! We study our Bible and we pray. That is what we're going to do. I'm going to make a confession here. I have a little bit of an addictive personality. Sometimes when I am really into a TV program or something that I'm reading, a book, I am 100% in that. I don't know if any of you have ever had a Netflix binge. Of course not. But if you watch more than 5 episodes in a row, I'm counting that as a Netflix binge. And if you do that, this is a real big confession, you would tend to dream about what's going on. You tend to talk about what's happening. You tend to think about it during the day. Things remind you of what it is that you're watching or what it is that you're reading. Do you know why? Because you've submerged yourself in that program or that book. But what would it be like of instead of submerging myself in home decor programs, would it look like if I submerged myself in scripture and I prayed continually? What would it look like? What if I talked about Jesus as much as I talked about my day, how I was feeling, my clothes, what I watch, or what the kids are doing? Lisa Turkhurst, I know some of you know, she wrote this week, "Wherever we focus our attention the most will become the driving force in our lives. Where we steer is where we stare." So if we keep our eyes on Jesus, that is where we're going. And that is what I'm challenging you to this morning. And the last thing I want to leave you with is witness. Because we said at the start, I want you to be bold witnesses for Jesus. Now, Blair and I actually met at a Christians in Sport camp. And there was a guy, and really faithful man of God. And he did all of the Bible talks up at the front in the chat. And he told us a story one night, and it has never left me. He had a friend who was quite sick in the hospital, and he wasn't a Christian, and Wellesley went up, and he was saying, "Listen, I really want to pray for you. You know, I really want to tell you about Jesus." And, you know, he told him lots of times about Jesus. He prayed for him many times, said, "I've been praying for you." And his friend said, "I actually think that's really great, but if Jesus is who you say he is, if he died on the cross for me, and everyone who's within churches believes that, I believe they'd be shouting from the rooftops about it. So I'm not entirely convinced that they all think that. I think it's a way of life." And Wellesley said he was so taken aback because he said, "I believe they would walk across hot coals to get their family and their friends saved if they 100% believed that the resurrection was true." And he said nothing had ever punched him in the gut quite like that, because what a challenge. If we 100% believed what we were saying, why are we not shouting it? Why are we not chasing people down? And you know, I'm not saying that that's the right way to do it. What I am saying is that's a challenge of why we're not talking about it more, why we're not focusing more. At the start of this talk today, I shared with you what I felt the Holy Spirit had put in my heart. And all of this today, I feel like he's preparing us to be witnesses. I have a real bubbling, a fire, a laughter almost in my heart at the thought of you and me throwing off weights, running this race with endurance, fixing our eyes on Jesus, and hopefully telling people about Jesus in Falkirk, our families and our friends. What would that look like? I want you to ask yourself that question this morning. What's holding you back, and what would it look like? If you fix your eyes on Jesus, just like when we talk about the programs we watch or the book that we're reading, we would be talking about Jesus. We would be talking about the answered prayers. We would be talking about we saw someone get healed. We'd be talking about how kind, loving, and supportive Jesus is and how powerful he is and how he was impacting our lives. That's what we'd be talking about. I shared the story of Wellesley this morning, and has that stirred up something in you? Could we be throwing off whatever's hindering us and chase after what God has for us? That you would introduce a friend or a family or a co-worker or someone in Aldi to Jesus. Could we pray and get words for people? Could we pray for people who are having a hard time? My challenge to you today is, who is it that you're witnessing to every day of your life? And actually, you weren't really thinking about it. Who is it that you see all the time? So my hope this morning is that you've realized that you are running a race. I pray that you have a renewed excitement for what it is that God has called you for. God does just not have a plan for Johnny and Jonah growing up and learning about God. He has a plan for you, and you are his witnesses. It's for you, and he has a plan for you, and you have power in the name of God. You have power in his name, and are we using it? Are we chasing his purpose? Are we doing that? I hope that God has brought people into your mind this morning that you can pray for. And above all else, I hope this morning that you have now got a joy and excitement and a fire in your soul for what God has in store for you, and that you even have the courage to step into it.